Hey everyone, my name is Randall Heyer. I'm the Worship Arts Pastor here at Cochrane Alliance Church. We are so glad that you've come to check out the latest sermon. We pray that you are encouraged, you are challenged, and ultimately drawn closer to Jesus. Enjoy.
We are today in the middle of our study of the book of Philippians. We actually cross over into chapter 3. And without further ado, let's just get into it. I want to read with you the first 11 verses of Philippians chapter 3. So if you've got a Bible there, you got an app handy, why don't you read along with me, or we'll just put it on the screen here as I'm reading from my Bible. This is what Paul writes. Finally, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard to you. Watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is found through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. I'd like us to think about credentials today. Credentials are qualifications, achievements, personal qualities, or aspects of a person's background that indicate that they are suitable for something else. So I think credentials get you invited into a club. Credentials can give you job opportunities. Credentials open doors to new friendships and relationships. Let's think about professional credentials for a second. I actually needed credentials to get my job. I have pieces of paper on my wall to prove that I have met certain academic standards that qualified me for undergraduate and a graduate theology degrees. I went through also after that a number of processes with our denomination. I got licensed to minister, which is, I can assure you, way less glamorous than getting licensed like James Bond. I was ordained, I wrote papers, I preached sermons, I took an oral examination. All of it was designed to confirm my calling and capability to serve and lead a church. And I know that some of you still wonder whether I am qualified to do that, but you're too late. I have the certificate and I'm not giving it back. And in addition to all the formal stuff, I also have practical credentials. I have almost 21 years now of serving as a youth, an associate, and a lead pastor. And if you were to ask me what qualifications or achievements or aspects of my background indicate that I might be suitable for my job, well, some of that stuff that I just mentioned is probably what I would tell you about. But it's not just pastors who need qualifications and credentials. Many professionals expect that they will have to get some credentials before they can get jobs. Of course, tradespeople need to become apprentices, and they do practical work on the job and as well as theoretical work in the classroom. Massage therapists go through hundreds of or thousands of hours of therapy to get qualified. We all know about doctors who go to school as students. They spend lots of time following doctors around. They do a residency, and many of them specialize further to get credentials as a surgeon or emergency room worker. It's the same deal with accountants and lawyers and engineers. And we also look for credentials informally, right? If you get invited to go skiing, probably someone will say, oh, okay, you want to ski? Well, have you skied before? How much have you skied? Where do you ski? What kind of terrain do you like to ski? Do you have equipment? And if your skiing cred has something to do with skiing at Paskapoo in the 1980s, well, then your friends might be okay doing a couple of runs with you at the resort, but that's probably about it. If they are going to take you into the backcountry, they will want some assurance from you that you have the experience and the capacity and the physical fitness to drag yourself up the mountain physically and then safely descend to the terrain without them having to call a helicopter to get you out. It has everything to do with your skiing credentials. Now that we're on the same page, let's talk about religious credentials. If someone wants to belong to a religious group, what kind of resume do they need to bring to the table? And I suspect that many of you have been asked about your religious credentials. What was your religious experience growing up? Did you go to Sunday school? Were you confirmed? Have you been baptized? Where do you go to church now? How often? Have you volunteered? What kinds of things have you done? And let's kick it up even one more notch. If someone wanted to be a friend of the living God, what kind of credentials would they need? What does God need us to prove in order for us to be on good terms? Is it that he wants us to go through a checklist?
Hey everyone, my name is Randall Hire. I'm the worship arts pastor here at Cochrane Alliance Church. We are so glad that you've come to check out the latest sermon. We pray that you are encouraged, you are challenged, and ultimately drawn closer to Jesus.
Is there an amount of karma, good karma, that I need to accumulate? Is it about the amount of money that I've donated? Is it time? Do I need to prove myself faithful to God over a number of years, maybe even over a number of decades? Or maybe God just wants me, the credentials he's looking from me, maybe that he just wants me to be sincere, that I can do and act and believe whatever I want, but I just need to show God the credential of sincerity. What do you think? If God were to ask you for your religious credentials, what would you show him? What would prove to him that you are legitimate, sincere, and worthy of his friendship? I think the section of Philippians that we just read is essentially an argument about religious credentials, particularly God's perspective on the qualifications, achievements, personal background, or aspects of a person's life that qualify them for a good relationship with him. And while I think that some of the specifics or the particular credentials that are being discussed in Philippians, they're not really so much relevant to Christians in 2020, the general idea of credentials is super important to us. So let me try to break this down as simply as I can. In the section of Philippians that we read last week, Paul was in a super good mood because he was discussing the contributions and character of his good friends, Timothy and Epaphroditus. But when we get to this section, he is Well, he is ticked off, and that's putting it mildly. Throughout most of Paul's career, the people who frustrated him the most, they were a group we sometimes label the Judaizers. And the core message of the Judaizers centered around, you guessed it, credentials, particularly religious credentials. The Judaizers argued that if you wanted to be, well, acceptable to God, you did in fact need to follow Jesus. You needed to accept the fact that he lived and died and rose again for your salvation, and that you needed to put your trust in him. But that wasn't enough. There was another step, another set of credentials that every person needed to attain in order to be saved. And that step, that extra set of credentials, was to become a Jew. That meant, if a person was serious, that they needed to adopt Jewish traditions, Jewish ceremonial laws, Jewish diet, Jewish special holidays, worshiping on the Sabbath, and most important, at least if you were a Gentile male, you needed to prove that you were really one of God's people by getting circumcised. Now, if Christianity or Judaism is new to you, then that probably sounds really, really weird. But for the sake of time, let's not get into it totally right now. What you need to know is that since the time of Moses, circumcision was the sign that you were really one of God's people. So it seemed that some teachers from the Judaizer group had made their way to the city of Philippi, and that's the city that Paul was writing, and they were telling Greek and Roman and African Christians that it was really good and all that they were trusting Jesus because that partially credentialed them with God. But if they were really serious, if they really wanted God to accept them all the way, then they needed Jewish credentials as well. And if they were men, they needed to go under the knife, literally. And when Paul found out about what they were saying, he was ticked. It's all there in verse 2. These people telling you this stuff, he says, they're dogs. They're miserable street rats. Do you really want them to mutilate you down there? Are you insane? Don't believe what they're telling you even for a second, because in Jesus, you get all the credentials you need. And Paul says, if you need to think about it some more, take me for an example. You want Jewish credentials? Well, I have a PhD and a postdoc in that stuff. I was born a Jew. My parents got me circumcised like a good Jewish boy on the first day it was legal to do so. I can trace my lineage all the way back to Abraham. I am from the prestigious tribe of Benjamin. My whole life I took pride in my heritage. I went to the best religious school so I could learn all the details of those Jewish laws and traditions. I didn't just learn them. Practicing them was my life. I was awesome at it. Flawless, actually. I tithed within 0.01% of what I was asked to. I only ate kosher. I was at the synagogue every time the doors opened, and I made sure that I was up to date with all my sacrifices. And if that wasn't enough, Paul says, my passion in life was to torment, to arrest, to kill Jews who were leaving our religion to follow this Jesus guy. So, Paul says, if you're looking for an example of someone who has amazing religious credentials and was absolutely killing it when it came to building up a religious resume and living up to those expectations, well, look no further than me, because I did it. If anyone in my generation expected to be approved by God based on their religious credentials, it was me. I was the valedictorian and voted most likely to succeed. But then, verse 7, Paul gets to his point. This is what he says. The very credentials these people are waving around as something special, I'm tearing up and throwing out with the trash, along with everything else I used to take credit for. And why? Because of Christ. Yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Jesus as my master firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. It's dog dung. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him. I don't want some petty, inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules when I could get the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ, God's righteousness. Friends, religious credentials are worthless. Following all the rules, being sincere, doing your duty, giving away your money, getting circumcised, making vows of celibacy, getting the Jesus tattoo, moving into the monastery, having perfect attendance at church. None of this, even if you add together a lifetime of good credit, none of these qualifications or achievements or personal qualities make you suitable for a relationship with God. No one can be declared good enough to get adopted into God's family or earn a person their forgiveness and their eternal life. It can't be done. Well, that's not quite true. There is one person, someone who, although he had always been God by nature, did not cling to his prerogatives as God's equal. But instead, he stripped himself of all privilege and consented to being born as a mortal human being. And once he became a man, he humbled himself by living a life of utter obedience to God, even to the extent of dying on behalf of others who did not deserve it. Do you remember him? Jesus did everything necessary to be considered worthy and qualified in God's sight, all the way to dying for others less worthy than himself. Therefore, God declared him credentialed, good enough, more than good enough, righteous enough, not just for God's approval, but righteous enough to give his credentials to anyone who would place their trust in him. Here's the hook for us. If that's true, if Jesus has done all the credentialing for you, and if he offers those to you free of charge, why would you go back to earn your own credentials from God? Especially if you know in advance that your best efforts will add up to precisely jack squat. I suspect that some people watching me right now or listening to me today, they've wondered about their credentials. You've wondered what it takes to be considered good enough, qualified enough, knowledgeable enough for a friendship with God. You've wondered about the karma you might need to override the bad that you've accumulated. And maybe what God is urging you right now is to ditch your efforts to do better, to work harder, to push longer, and instead to jump in with Jesus. And if that's you, I just want to invite you today to get on the Jesus bandwagon. And it's as simple as admitting to God that your best efforts at credentials, that they have not been good enough. And instead, you tell God that what you'd like to do instead is have Jesus stand in your place in the good credit department. The fancy theological way to say that is to be found in him, that you want to be found him in him, not having a goodness that is of your own, which comes from your own efforts, but a goodness that comes directly from God through faith in Jesus. And I just want to ask, what's stopping you from doing that right where you are right now? And if you do take that step, or if you want to take it and you need some help understanding it or what it means, well, then drop us a note in the guest book that's right along with this video, and we'll do all we can as a church to support you. In closing, I want to give one word to us about something in particular, and that is about sincerity. It seems to me that a popular idea for a lot of Canadians is that the main credential God is looking for in people is sincerity. And the idea is that it doesn't matter so much what you believe as long as you genuinely go after it with all your heart. That you really believe it, like from the depths of your person. So if you sincerely believe in the secret and the power of positive thinking, then go after that. You might trust in the goodness of humanity. You can honestly believe that if we all just do our best and be kind to each other, then it will work out in the end. So if that's what you think, then get out there and be excellent to each other. We as Canadians think, look, if you believe the Quran, then believe in it with all your heart. If you're a Catholic, then be sincere about it. If you are a Protestant, then be a sincere Protestant. If you are a secular Jew or Hare Krishna, then do your thing with all your heart, man, because what matters not so much is not so much what you think or believe. What matters most is that you're sincere, because sincerity is what matters to God. Sincerity really is the only credential that matters, religiously speaking. Because what God is looking for is people with big, sincere hearts who don't judge and go about their life sincerely. Let me just say, based on what Paul has said to us in Philippians, that your sincerity alone is crap. Seriously, sincerity is worthless. It's no different than me offering to God really long prayers or volunteering lots of hours to help the poor. That is worthless. If what Paul is throwing down here is true, then one day God will have a conversation with lots of good, sincere people and say, let me get this straight. I sent my son to die, to sacrifice his life so that all of his credit could be directly deposited into your account. But you feel that your sincerity in, well, whatever it is that you sincerely believe, you think that that makes you just as qualified as he is? Are you being serious right now? Friends, your sincerity, no matter how well-meaning and earnest, is not going to take you anywhere with God when you meet him face to face someday. So I invite you, sincerely, to humble yourself, to set your sincerity aside and exchange it for the goodness and the credentials that Jesus freely offers you. There's lots more that could be said about that. There's lots more that could be said about Philippians chapter 3, but let's stop there and pray. Would you pray with me now? Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, we honor you and recognize at what cost your credentials are offered to us today. And I just pray as we are gathered around Cochrane, around Alberta, around the world today, virtually speaking, that your Holy Spirit would work in our lives today. I pray that we would realize what a gift it is that Jesus would live and die and rise again for us. We've got some kind of internal mechanism, some kind of internal drive within us that feels and believes really strongly that we need to earn our own ticket, that getting credentialed is our job. And yet everything about the most basic part of your story says that we don't need to do that. In fact, we are incapable. We are too flawed to be able to earn our own credentials. And that your way, the way we enter into your family, is not to try harder to obey more rules, but actually to accept the good credit that has already been earned for us by Jesus. I pray for those who've already received that good gift from you. I pray that we would stop trying to add on extra stuff so that we are approved by you. I pray that the good works, the prayer, the Bible reading, the volunteering, the serving people that we do, the attending of church, staying away from bad stuff, that all of that would be done not as a way of earning credit with you, but instead it would be offered as a response out of love. And where we need to reevaluate why and how we live our religious life, God, I pray that you would help us understand why we do the activity we do. And I want to pray for some gathered today with us that maybe have never accepted the free credit that is available to them through Jesus. I pray that your Holy Spirit would open their eyes in to your graciousness, your generosity, your love that allows all of this to be poured out on us free. And that all that's required is a step of faith to acknowledge and receive it. And so, Father, we bless you for this plan. We are in awe of it. We step away from all the good works that we try to offer you. And instead, we glory in Jesus. We worship him. We honor him for what he's done. And we ask that we may be found in him. We pray these things in his name. Amen.